Good evening, everybody. Good evening. The parsha opens up with the tzivui, with the command of Shoftim, to put judges and people that are disciplinarians, I guess you call it, enforcers, law enforcement, in all the gates of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvahs in every town, in the chutzlarts were not as equally as commanded. Over here, we have to just put a base in every plaque, in every province. And that's something to look into, why Eretz Yisrael is different, that we must have much more, it has to be much more densely packed with courts, you know, than when the Jews have to, when they unfortunately live outside the land of Israel. So the Jewish settlement outside the land of Israel has to do in every plach, every province. There's something to that. Well, the idea is, you know, is already alluded to. In the pasuk it says, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, leman techiev yeshtarz, pursue justice in order you should live and inherit the land, that Rashi brings to Chazal, that in the schus of minui dayonim, of appointing judges, you know, we have tranquility and we inherit Eretz Yisrael. So there's a special connection between Eretz Yisrael and the Dayonim. So it's something which you have to look into. It's a very interesting that interesting to point out that the other commandments in this week's parsha all have to do really with government. It opens up with setting up the court system, but also have the parsha, you know, the mitzvah of appointing a king, and we have the also the laws of the authorities of a navi. So all the people that govern us and have authority, you know, the bezdin, the batei dinim, the bezdin agadol, and how the zaken mamre is not allowed to argue with the bezdin agadol, and the king and the navi, and of course one of the major functions of government is, you know, it's the governing bodies that have the authority to take us out to war. Not by what right, you know, can you demand another person to, from another person, put his life on the line? Right, only the divinely appointed government, you know, what the Torah appointed, the king that the Torah appointed, right? But they didn't let the Torah endorse the Navi, right? That that the Torah instructed us to follow in this week's parsha. These people were granted authorities amongst their authorities, you know, which really shows how their authority, they have real power to govern us, is that they could take us out to war. As therefore, the laws of war and engagement are in this week's parsha. Okay? So now, this week's parsha is always the very first parsha we read in Elul. And it's, and that has to say something. You know, if we've had this order of laning for hundreds and hundreds of years, in the days that the Rambam already was old, you know, this way of laning. So it always, you know, for hundreds of years, perhaps even 1,000 years already. Right, Parsha Shoftim is always the first Parsha in Chodesh Elul. And so we have to maybe look, you know, and try to understand what the message is. Now we knew, you know, that Elul is a month of Tshuva. Right, we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah. It's the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was invited to go back up to heaven to get the second Luchos. So he went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, came down on Yom Kippur. So now, the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary on the Sefer Yetzirah, Sefer Yetzirah says that what reigns in the month of Elul is the letter Yud in Maisa, the letter Yud in action. And so regarding that statement of the Sefer Yetzirah, just trying to explain what action does the letter Yud reign in, says the Gaon, Psolcha, the command that I guess Moshe Rabbeinu executed on Rosh Chodesh Elul, to carve, you know, to chisel the tablets. That's the Maisa. Right, that's the Himlech Ois Yud B'Maisa. So, you know, to try to, you know, connect these dots and after we connect the dots to make sense out of the parsha, we'll try to make some sense out of current events and understand, you know, the major tshuva that we really have to try to do. By the first luchos, that we lost because of the sin of the golden calf. So we know that both the tablet and the writing were equally from God. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven empty-handed, came down with luchos. Luchos ma'aseh Elokim, v'michtav michtav Elokim chorus haluchos. The luchos are a action of God, you know, created by act of God, and the writing is the writing, right, of God, you know, engraved on the luchos, right. Engraved on the luchos, right? So both tablet and the writing on tablet were equally divine from heaven. Now the second luchos is not that way. Psolacha, Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed, you chisel, you know, these tablets. V'chasafti haluchos es hadvarim, and I'm going to write on these luchos that you chisel the same words that were on the luchos that you broke. Right? This is the fundamental difference, right? You know, did God make the luchos? That's the first luchos. Second luchos, we have to make the luchos. We have to, and it starts with chiseling. So now, last night, the Youngers of Long Beach, I gave a very long address about this, and I will be posting the audio of that presentation online. Tonight, I want to go in a slightly different approach and drive home to, you know, the current events. Our situation at Mamre Har Sinai, you know, at the time of the giving of the Torah, before we did the sin of the golden calf. All right, so the Gemara says, Yisrael Shamdu Har Sinai Paskazu Masim Am Yisrael that stood at Har Sinai. We had actually been cleansed from the contamination of the sin of Adam. You know, the sin of Adam put the Yetzirah that used to be external, used to be embodied in the snake, the serpent. It brought it inside of us. Right, and that's why we have an internal Yetzirah tempting us and confusing us. He's in us, he's a part of us. He even has the audacity to identify as us. Right? You know, it's a famous saying from Rav Dessler, from the the Baal Michtav Melio. How do you know if the voices in your head are from the Yetzer HaTov or from the Yetzer Ra? So he says, you know, when you're thinking thoughts like, I want, I need, I must, that's the Yetzer Ra talking. When you're speaking, you know, thinking in second, talking to yourself in second person, you must, you will, you really have to, that's the Yetzer Ra talking. That's this frightening thing. The Yetzer Ra has the audacity to identify as you, right? Whereas the Yetzer Tov knows his place. That both it should be pointed out that both the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra are creations that are added to us. They're not the neshama. You know, there's long discourses on this in Rav Chaim Vital's Sefer Shaarei HaKedusha. That the Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer Ra are additives. They were added to us. You know, there's the neshama and then there's the guf. But, you know, to give the neshama options to choose from, right, the power of free will is in the neshama. Right, but the neshama needs options and has to be pulled towards those options. So God gave the option of the Yetzer Ra to pull towards the evil, tempt and pull towards evil, and it gives the Yetzer HaTov to pull and tempt towards the good. And the neshama decides between them. Right, so the Yetzer Tov is honest, because that's the problem. Nice guys finish last. He's honest, and he says, "Look, you know, I'm just the Yetzer. I'm here to influence you, and I say you should. You. The Yetzer Ra, you know, he's a liar. He's bad, right? So you can't expect the bad guy to tell the truth, right? So the Yetzer Ra says, you know, I, as in he pretends to be you, and he confuses you that he is you. And what he wants is what you really want. Freud fell for it. And Freud talking about, you know, if a person's base desires are him, and, you know, and he, therefore, he won't be happy until he, you know, as it were, to some level, recognizes and gives in to them. And it's not true. Yetzer is not you, but he has the audacity to say that he's you. And you'll see where we're going with this in a second as far as current events. But speaking of how the Yetzer is just such a true, true liar. You know, I'm reminded as I'm speaking of a story that I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. He told me this story once when I was visiting him on Sukkos. And he said the name of one of the Gdom from two generations ago, Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was the Rav of Slutsk, and he was imprisoned by the Soviets until subsequently he got released, and then he immigrated to London and then to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav Yecheskel Abramsky used to say about Soviet Russia, you know, there's one newspaper there, and it's called Pravda. I imagine it still exists even until this day, Pravda. Now, Pravda means truth. So I asked Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, I don't get it. Everyone knows that Pravda is full of lies, right? It's like the failing New York Times. The fake media of today. All right, so everyone, it's full of lies. How do they have the audacity to call themselves Pravda, truth? He said, no, that's the whole point. They wanted to make it the perfect lie. It should be an absolute lie. There should be nothing in the newspaper that could be true, right? They wanted even the name to be a lie, because what should they call the newspaper? Lies? Call the newspaper lies. That's the truth, because it's lies. So they have to call the newspaper truth. So even the name of the newspaper should be a lie. Right? So anyway, the HR is a liar, right? So he's a bad guy. So just like he tries to tell you to do bad things, he also is, you know... He himself, you know, just like he lies to you and says it's good for you, he's willing to lie all the way and say he is you. All right? So now we were rid of, you know, that fiend, the Yetzer Hara, briefly, when we said Naaseh V'Nishma, and we were supposed to get tablets in accordance to that level that we were on. That just like, you know, the Yetzer Hara was banished from within us, so we were pure. Even the body was pure, so the tablets, which is the body that carries the writing, so the body is the, you know, is the body that carries the soul, you know, in Luchos, tablets is to body, and the writing on the tablets is like the soul that's, you know, comes to influence the body, like you put the writing on the tablets, all right? So the tablets were divine, they're because they were pure. Right, the tablets refer, you know, the purity of the tablets was reflective of the purity of the body. And we automatically just did what God wants. And we merited that level because he said Naaseh before Nishma. Right, that we were pre-committed to doing whatever God wants. There will be, the Yetzer will not interfere. It won't be any game of broken telephone that we'll hear and whatever we understand and agree with, that's what we'll do. No, Naaseh. No, we're going to do it. It will be done. And then Nishma means that we'll also try to understand it intellectually, and but it's going to get done. So that already left no room for the Yetzer Hara, because the Yetzer Hara, that's his place. Blockage. That, as I say, the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. You know, and we do very little of what we really want to do. Like the Gemara says, Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzon ka God, you know we want to do what you want to do, what you want from us, but mi ma'akev, who gets in the way? The source should be, so the Yetzer Hara and the Sheba Malchus and the Golos, these things get in the way. The Lashon Chazal gets in the way. Right? We get the orders, but the orders don't filter down to execution, to the perfect execution of those orders. Because that's where the Yetzer Hara gets in and, you know, confuses us, gives us room to rationalize that we don't have to do it so much, so hard. Sometimes he blocks us from being Mekayim, from upholding the law totally. All right. But, you know, but Amiso, when they said Nazareth, said there's no blockage. It's going to go straight from the command to action, and we will think about it afterwards to try to appreciate and understand what we did. Okay? But then we did the sin of the golden calf, the Yetzer Hara came back. Right? And now the body's no longer holy. Because, you know, that setback as a result of the sin, Chet HaEgel, will not be corrected until the end of time. And when the Pasuk says, Vasiroisi leiv ha'evim mikir, I will take the heart of stone out of you, Vasatachem leiv ha'evim, I will give you a heart of flesh. We have a heart of stone. Heart of stone. Stone. Like stone, you know, that could be tablets. Could be if you chisel at it. And that's what it means. You know, the second luchos were the stone, which the luchos which are connected to the body and the heart of man, we're earthly. And say, but psolecha, chisel at it. You can't trust yourself. Not none of this nonsense that you instinctively know the truth. Nonsense. You cannot trust yourself. You know, you have to chisel away and make the stone into tablets. But it's an act of chiseling, act of discipline, an act of, everything goes into chiseling. You have to be willing to change your worldview, chip away at what society told you, chip away at what you thought at first glance to be true, chip away. And chip away also means discipline. You know what it's like? Shoftim v'shotrim, right? Judges, that's the conscience, that's the intellect. And shotrim is the enforcers. And both are implied in the chiseling. There's chiseling away at your intellect that don't let society, don't let people sell you a bill of goods. You got to chisel away and second guess what you've been fed, or second guess what you thought at first glance. And you also have to chisel away at yourself, as in discipline. Right? And that's all necessary because the body is not intrinsically pure anymore. It's adulterated with the Yetzer Hara. So you can't trust yourself. And that's what the Sifrei Chassidus say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, psolecha, in Milashim psul, to disqualify. Disqualify yourself. Assume that you don't have the truth. Assume that you're not doing the right thing. Always second guess yourself, right? Because from that only good things happen. And that's why the Gemara, which is, you know, what kept Torah alive for us, the Talmud that was written in the Golos, right? The Talmud works that way. It never accepts anything given. Always asks the question, how do you know? How do you know? Are you sure? Maybe you could deflect it. Always second guessing. And sometimes even after two blot, it'll come back to what it originally said. El mechavarta kedushanina meikara is better what we first answered, but it won't take it immediately. It'll get back to it after going through every other option, knocking out every other option, and then you're left with the pure truth. The Talmud, right, is the model, right, for, you know, how we are to understand Torah and how we're to understand anything. Always through second guessing, always making sure that all other possibilities have been eliminated. Right? Chipping away. Psolecha. Right? Because we can't just see the truth. You can't trust yourself. And you can't be certain until you've knocked out all the other possibilities. Right? And that you've raised every issue that you could possibly raise regarding the approach that you do want to take, and make sure that stands up to all those challenges. Right? And that's because we've had the Talmud. That's what kept our heads straight and gave us the intellectual prowess not to be influenced by all the foreign cultures we were exiled by. And halacha, the fundamentals of how to figure out halacha, even new halacha that, you know, needs to be figured out every generation, we get that technology from the Talmud. We use the Talmudic method of dialectic, right, to pose svaras and to pose proofs and to build a psak. Right? If not for the Talmud, you know, we would have lost our grip on Torah and our grip on truth years ago, centuries ago, millennia ago. So now, this is, you can understand now that, you know, the Parsha Shoftim is always the first Parsha in Elul. Elul is about, you know, preparing to re-accept Torah. Excuse me. Yes? I'll call him back.
Well,
in 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Distraction. But anyway, getting back to the point, the we're preparing to re-accept God as our King on Rosh Hashanah. And only after that we can really say we're sorry and reconcile with him on Yom Kippur. That's how Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is to accept him as king. And after you've accepted him as king and his word is law, right, then you have the right to ask him for forgiveness for what you did wrong. But if you haven't accepted him as king, you don't recognize the law, why should the law be forgiving towards you if you don't recognize the law? you know, reconcile with the law on Rosh Hashanah, and then you could plea bargain, right, on Yom Kippur, right, or maybe even get totally off the hook, you know, because you're going to be a good citizen from now on, but until you recognize the law and you accept the law, right, there's no reason to be pardoned, that the law should pardon you in any way. First, recognize the law, Rosh Hashanah, and then, right, then you could get pardoned, right? But then there's Elul, preparing ourselves to accept the law, right? We want the law upon us, right? You got to chisel away at your heart of stone to become, you know, the type of tablets that God's law could be written upon. But how do you chisel away? You know, so yeah, it's, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu chiseled at a piece of stone. What's my personal chiseling? It says, well, before you could have God's law, right, that He should give it to you, right? And which means, you know, you have to say what it means to have God's law. It means that you have divine intelligence in your mind and in your heart. Right, that's the amazing gift of Torah. Right, and that's, you know, that's we, that God is now giving Torah again on Yom Kippur, because the original level of the giving of Torah we lost, and He's giving now Torah in a new form, the same Torah in a new form, that is still, the giving of the Torah means God's mind's in your, God's mind in your mind, right? It's like the words of the tablets, right? The words, word of God, engraved upon you. Right, so it's going to be engraved on a stone heart, but the heart has to at least be in a position to be somewhat of tablets. So you have to say like this, right, before God will reveal the full, you know, divine intelligence, which is the Torah to us, that should be our Torah and should sit b'ficha b'vavcha in our mouths and in our hearts, that the Torah should mamish be dvarei asher samti b'ficha d'nav, says my words in your mouth, God's words in our mouth. It's b'ficha u'b'vavcha. Right before that, hey, let's do something to improve yourself a little bit, discipline yourself a little bit, have a little bit of a conscience, you know, then on the basis of that conscience, that'll be a base to receive the Torah that will be reissued on Yom Kippur. Right, but you have to create a base for it to be chal on, right, it's a base for it to sit on. Now, and that's what the Torah commands, Shoftim Shoftim Titen Lecha, right? You, for your sake, Shoftim V'Shoftim, right? And that's the function of Eretz Yisrael. We know Eretz Yisrael is the holy land. That means the divine presence rests more in Israel than it rests elsewhere. The divine presence is everywhere, but it doesn't rest everywhere because it doesn't merge. It doesn't merge, you know, with physical life, you know, outside of Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the holy land. Right, that's called that the divine intelligence actually sits in that land. Right? And that's why, parallel to how Eretz Yisrael, the divine intelligence, actually sits in the land of Israel, we spoke about this last week, that's why, parallel to that, you need even more Batei Dinim. Because the Batei Dinim, Elokim Nitzav Ba'adaskel, God stands in the midst of the judges, and the judges are God's messengers to bring His law to earth. And when they bring His law to earth, right, then His law is revealed in a way that's, first of all, intellectually satisfying, because, you know, the Dayanim, they understand what they're saying. And they explain it to the Balei Dinim, and then it's God's law is, you know, is revealed as revealed intellectually, which causes it to be sweet and understood, and everyone's reconciled, and the two litigants make peace because they understand that this is the truth. As opposed to if you want God just to correct the world out of vengeance, that you get put, the pieces get pushed around, but you don't understand why, and it's just painful and beyond evades, and that's what it means. Im yesh din lamata and din yor lamala milamala. If there's dinim on earth, and the dayanim mete out din Torah, God doesn't have to do midas adin from heaven of correcting the world. Because we correct ourselves, and we correct ourselves in a such a full and emotionally satisfying and intellectually satisfying way, because we have God's plans in our minds, and the dayanim, you know, reveal it and explain it, and it's enforced. But most people, enforcement should not be overly necessary when it could be explained. This is the law. When it's God, doing it through nonverbal communication, is forcing things, then it hurts. And that's called dinim. That's called einshim. Right? When the dayanim explain it, so the law is being revealed, and it sits in everyone's minds and hearts. And people could be totally on board with it and reconcile with it. And ideally, the two litigants, when they get the psak resim, should immediately become friends again. Right? That's what the Mishnah says, obviously, when the bali dim first stand, you look at them as both rishayim. But after they hear the psak, look at them as both tzadikim shekibla lehem es hadin, because they have received and they heard the psak and they accepted the psak. Now they're both tzadikim. Even the one that aggrieved the other, even the one that hurt the other, but they're both tzadikim once they accept the psak and they live with the psak. All right. We're living in a lawless era. The opposite of psolocha. This lawless era where the anarchists, Antifa Yamach Shemam, right, and all the leftists are out to, besides that they're lawless, right, and they want to break any semblance of law and order, right, and they're attacking the statues. It's just a means for the end of just abolishing any sense of law and order. So they just want to take down the whole world order. And of course, the transgendering, God forbid, that's pure Yetzirah. And that's what I was alluding to before. The Yetzirah has the chutzpah to identify as you. So if you have a Yetzirah, a person has a Yetzirah. Oh, strange, I'll never relate to it, right? But there's some Yetzirah, Nebuch, it's a mental illness, that he wants to be a different gender. So that Yetzirah speaks as if he's the guy himself or the girl herself. I want to be a boy. I want to be a girl. I want to use that bathroom. Okay. It's a Yetzer. Of course, I believe that there are these impulses in the head. But it's the Yetzirah. The chutzpah is that the Yetzirah identifies the person himself. So a person says, this is what I want. It's not what you want. You don't really want that. But they don't care. The Yetzirah now is king. And they go with their Yetzirah as if what their Yetzirah is them. Right? And they want to, with that, go with the Yetzirah out of self to... Because that's what the Yetzer wants. The Yetzer doesn't want to make it good for you, not in the next world, for sure not, but not even in this world. He just wants you to go with impulse to the point of self-destruction. And that's what they're doing. They're just ripping down all law and order. All Gedorim. Right? And they're anarchists. Right? And that's why they're so against the present, against all law and order. Right? And you know why? It's our fault. It's our fault, and I have to say this very loud and clear. It's a problem even in Eretz Yisrael, but it is rampant in Chutz Laretz, and that people here go to secular court for their disputes with their fellow Jew, and that's an Isser Chomer. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible sin. It is counted, Chazal call it Chilul Hashem. It is in the category of Chilul Hashem, which is the greatest sin that has no kapora. Even Tshuva and Yom Kippur, right, and Yisurin are not Mechaper. You have to die to finally get Kapara. You need Tshuva and Yom Kippur and Yisurin and Misa, right, to get rid of. So going to a second court is a Chilul Hashem, desecration of the divine name. It's also has also called to give honor to their gods, that, these Ovdei Avarazar, they should be the ones that decide what's justice for us. So you're making them like God, that they're the ones who decide justice. Only He, our God, the true God, decides justice, and His justice is Din Torah. That's His justice. He speaks through the Beis Din. He empowered the Batei Dinim. And He speaks through the mouths of the Dayanim. The Dayanim Din Torah is a manifestation of the Torah, which is Word of God, being manifest and being enforced and being communicated. Right? So if you go to say, it's also called Meirim Yah B'Torah Moshe, is another Lashon Chazal. A person goes to second court, it's called take a hand against the Torah of Moshe. Right? It is called open rebellion against the Torah law, because you're going to secular law. So it's rebellion against Torah law. Right? So is it a wonder that, lawlessness, tohu vavohu, lawlessness and chaos, the opposite of law and order, right, is what's rampant now? and the whole drive is to rip down any sense of law and order. Now, they're first taking down the order, and then you'll surely see it'll be lawless. But lawless also, you know, with the open borders and illegal immigrants have the same rights as legal residents here. They could vote and, you know, and have benefits, right? You know, it's already gone on to the lawlessness already as far as the immigrant issue, right? But right now, with the identity politics too, they're taking down order. The statues, taking, you know, the monuments, taking down order. It's just an whole issue of getting rid of the old world order. It's all about, you know, ripping down all law and order. And you know why? It's our sin. It's our sin, right? Because we, Jews, do not go to Din Torah, right? With the Dayanim, we communicate the law and order of God into the world. The Dayanim bring their law and order into the world. They bring the Torah law into the world. And they do it in the better way because it's a part of the people. It's a part of the mental. You know, the Dayanim understand intellectually and they explain it. And if the guy has any integrity, the litigants, they accept it. And now you have not just the law around, you have the law inside of you. Right? And so the Dayanim bring law and order into the world. And that's why Chazal say, you know, that dying should done din lemes lamito nasishu master breaches, the dying that does, you know, true judgment is a partner of God in creation. You're fixing the world, you're bringing God's law and order to the world. Your mashish, another says that is mashashchina b'Yisrael. You bring the divine presence to the world, because what is the divine presence if not divrei Torah? The divrei Torah that we absorb, that's called the divine presence that's in our midst. Right? The Dayanim bring law and order to the world, God's law and order. And it's because of the sin that Jews are not going to Din Torah, you know, in their affairs between each other. And God forbid, I've heard people speak terrible Lashon Hara. No, the Batei Dinim are corrupt, and they say, Chas V'Shalom, you know, to say it. So find a good Bezdin if you really think that way. Or if you can't find a good Bezdin, appoint three frum Jews, three frum lawyers that know how to learn, and they should do an arbitration by them. You can't go to Goyim. You can't go to Goyim, and you can't do it out peace secular law. You can't. You can't. And it's because of this sin, which is rampant in America, and it's a rampant world over, that Jews go to secular court. And it's horrible. It's even in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Big Rosh Yeshiva and big Rebbes go to secular court, you know, when there's a battle over the Yerusha. Hashem Yerachem. Right? We have to fix this. Shofti v'shotrim titen lecha. How can we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're chipping away and we're building for ourselves conscience and discipline. Shofti v'shotrim. And how can we say we're doing it if we're not being mekayim that in the most literal sense, that when I have a dispute with a fellow Jew, I don't go to the Rav and the Dayan and the Beis Din, I go to secular court. Right? If you're handling your affairs away, so you're not real if you're saying you're doing it internally, if that's not how you handle your affairs. So Rebbe Shlomo should help, you know, we have to accept upon ourselves, you know, let's just put it simpler like this, right? Elul is all about accepting, you know, preparing to accept God as our king and his law is our law on Rosh Hashanah. How can you honestly go before God, accept him and say, you are our king and your law is our law? Ein lanu melech ela ata. You can't say it if you go to secular court. You have another king. You have someone else who determines what's law and order. And Elul is all about preparing for that. So what we have to do during Elul, shoftu shoftu tinocha, is to be mechazik ourselves in the end of going to Din Torah, and only to go to Din Torah, right? And if you can't find a rav and a dayan, find a few frum Jewish lawyers that know how to learn chayshim mishpat and do an arbitration by them. You can't go to secular court. Right? You must not go to secular court, right? And I just want to make everyone know, anywhere that, you know, here on Long Island, I established a Beis Din for decades, since Jews were living here, well, maybe even 100 years already. There hasn't been a Beis Din in Long Island. What a busha. Baruch Hashem, 2 years ago, I established here a Beis Din. Amud HaMishpat is a Beis Din for everything, monetary disputes, right, arbitration, Gittin, Chalitza, Geirus. There is a Beis Din on Long Island. Amud HaMishpat, right? I will post after this the contact information. We have to be mischazik to go to Din Torah. The vacuum of law and order is in the world, is our fault, because Yidden are not going to Din Torah, right? The Dayanim bring the law and order of the Torah into the world, and we're not using that, and we're not doing that. That's part of what makes the land of Israel holy. And that's why we're having such, contentions on Eretz Yisrael and Har HaBayis. Where did the highest rabbinical court sit? On Har HaBayis, in Lishkas HaGozes, the grand rabbinical court that we read about this week's parsha. So, because we're mezalzel in the Mishpat, that's what the pasuk says, Tzion, b'mishpat tibare. Tzion will be redeemed with Mishpat. When we start doing Mishpat, when we start doing things al pi din Torah, shiftu yasam, rivu almana, that's when the gula will come. Right? And because we're mezalzel in Mishpat, that's why we don't have a good, firm achiza, grasp on Eretz Yisrael. Our rights to Eretz Yisrael are being challenged. Our rights to Har HaBayis, with the grand rabbinical court, are being challenged, right? Because the Mishpat, which, as Rashi says in Parsha, the schus of Minu Dayanim, we sit tranquilly and have a firm grasp on Eretz Yisrael. We're mezalzel on that. That's why our grasp on Eretz Yisrael is weak. And that's why there's lawlessness in the whole world. And the whole world is devoid of the values and the law and order of the Torah, and there's like an active war against those values and the law and order of the Torah, right, by the liberals, right? And it's all our fault because we made that vacuum, because we're not filling the space with the Torah, law, and order, and we fill the space, we fill the ether, right, with the Torah's law and order through going to Din Torah in all our domestic, I meant commercial, civil disputes. That's what I meant to say. And always, that's how you, with the Dayanim sitting on all our civil affairs, that's how we bring the Torah's law and order into the ether, into time and space. And to the extent that we do it, it'll be machnia the liberals, right? And it'll bring the gula shema b'mehera b'yameinu. Keep checking back, as I will post the contact information to open a file in my Bezdin for all issues, all civil affairs that you may have.